Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hump day, everybody. Boos in Boston for the Celtics. Woo! Welcome into Undisputed. I'm Jen Hale. Good morning, Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Woo. How are we doing after those games last night?
Doing good.
You should be doing great. What? Do you realize a clear path, a super highway is opening up for LeBron James to win his fifth ring? Do you realize he's up 3-1 on Steph and Golden State? Do you realize Kevin Durant is in huge trouble? Do you realize that Jimmy Butler and company, what's left of the under-talented Miami Heat, just might win the East, and you're going to get to beat them again in the finals?
I'm trying to figure out, why would Kevin Durant be in trouble, the best player in the world?
Well, he used to be.
But you said he had rehabilitated himself.
The best player on the planet last night beat the Boston Celtics.
The best player on the planet did a number on Kevin Durant. You saw it.
I think you saw.
I did see it. Yeah. I watched the whole game.
Okay.
I watched the whole game. You watch it.
The Suns seem to be waving the white flag, guys. Man, and so did Boston. Let's start there, gentlemen, if you don't mind. The 76ers stole game 5 from the Celtics at home last night with a 115-103 win. That means they take a 3-2 series advantage. MVP Joel Embiid led Philly with 33 points and 4 blocks. The Celtics really struggled shooting, especially their starters, 39% overall and 31 from 3. A lot of that was thanks to their bench. Remember when we wondered if Joel Embiid was going to be healthy enough? Shannon, was last night more about the Sixers or the Celtics?
Well, Jen, you mentioned that the 76ers stole that game. No, they stole game 1. They beat the brakes off the Celtics last night. That's not stealing. That's, hey, we coming. Oh, man, they're coming. We know they're coming.
Yeah, and it's sort of the NBA cliche that you go on the road and steal the game. I got it. Yeah.
Skip, you've been by what James Harden did, or maybe Sunday's game. You stole that when James Harden hit a late 3, blah, blah, blah. But this was no stealing, Skip. This was a demolition job. Mm. And they dominated from start to finish. You got Joel Embiid, who wasn't terribly efficient, but he did what he normally does, is get to the foul line.
Yep.
Now you get Tyrese Maxey chipping in, giving you 30 big points. James Harden, two rebounds away from a triple-double.
Yep.
And you got Tobias Harris chipping in, gave you 16 points. And what normally happens, that great bench that the Celtics possessed gave you absolutely nothing last night. Al Horford cannot play the amount of minutes that he played and give you 0 points. Derek White has to give you more than 7 points. Guard, Marcus Smart, Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, combined 7 of 22.
Yep.
Skip, that won't get it done. You can't shoot 40%, allow the other team to shoot 50%, and think you're going to win a ball game. You're not. I thought the law firm, Tatum and Brown, I thought they played well enough. But nobody else played well last night, Skip. Mm. And when you get Joel Embiid doing what he did, you get Tyrese Maxey, and you get James Harden almost with 2 rebounds short of a triple-double, you're going to get the kind of performance that you got last night, which was a demolition job. Can the Celtics win 2 games? It seems to me Joel Embiid is getting healthier by the hour. He took the brace off. He played with a sleeve on. Mm-hmm. That's not a good sign for the Celtics because they got nobody that can deal with him one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And what he's able to do at 7'2" tall is that he can see over the double team, find the wide open guy, and they're knocking down the shots. The Celtics are in trouble. Mm. It's puzzling, Skip. The two teams in the East that was most dominant all year.
Yep.
One is already jettisoned, and the other one's on the ropes.
Yep.
The team that looked The Heat didn't look well all year. Mm-hmm. Now they're 1 win away from the conference finals. Mm-hmm. The Lakers didn't really look good all year. They're 1 win away from the conference finals. And the teams that look the most dominant, with the exception of the Nuggets, thing shaping up to be something very, very interesting.
Very, very interesting. Would you agree that all of a sudden it looks like LeBron's got a clear path?
No, he don't got no clear path.
Yeah. Huh?
I mean, come on now. They beat the 2 seed, Memphis. Was that a clear? Josh said they were good. They're good in a way. We worried about balls. Damn. Okay. They worried about Boston. Guess Boston was worried about them.
Okay, but that's history. They beat them.
Yeah.
They're going to beat Golden State.
I hope
believe they're going to do it tonight.
I hope so.
Would you look down the road and say, wait a second, the skies are opening. The heavens are opening for LeBron to win it all.
You do realize, like, the Nuggets are the number one seed for a reason, right?
Yep.
You do realize they possess the two-time league MVP. Should have been a three-peat, but that's neither here nor there. We'll discuss we'll discuss that at a later date and time. I don't want to interrupt the normal scheduled program.
Yeah. On that point, all I know is that back in February, I watched every dribble of Joel Embiid versus Nikola Jokic, and Embiid absolutely destroyed him just the way he destroyed the Celtics last night. So, Mr. Sharp, it is my turn. Big picture. I did pick the Philadelphia 76ers before the season started to win the East, and I did say that Joel Embiid is going to be the MVP. Finally, he'll finally break through as he should have broken through a year ago, but that's beside the point in another story.
Okay.
What I saw last night was, I believe the Sixers are just better than the Celtics because in the end, if you really boil it down, the best player on the floor, if he is relatively healthy, and I think he's only relatively healthy, but the best player is Joel Embiid.
Right.
He's better than Jason Tatum. He's better than Jaylen Brown. He's better certainly than Al Horford or Marcus Smart. We can keep going down the line. The Celtics have depth, but I don't think they have more depth than the Sixers do because the Sixers have people sitting on the bench, Montrezl Harrell, Korkmaz. They're good players. They can't see the light of play because this team is loaded with talent on both ends of the floor. Because when you can bring in a D'Anthony Melton to play defense, you've got a squad. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So the point is the second best player on the floor on any given night is James Harden. Now, I'm never sure whether he's going to be the worst best player or the best player on the floor because Doc said last night that he was magical, as in he was a magician, as in he played or called, as Doc said, a perfect game because he is their floor general.
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing but offensive genius on the perimeter. And even though he doesn't have quite the burst that he used to, he still slithers up in the lane and can get his shot at will whenever he wants it. And he does orchestrate at a genius level. Mm-hmm. It may not look that quick or fast or furious as it used to, but it works. And on any given night, when he's in that kind of zone and he's making his three-point shots like he is right here, right now, all of a sudden I say, well, the Sixers have the two best players.
Right.
And now I've been telling you for, I don't know, 3 months, Tyrese Maxey has arrived as a star. And the difference in the game last night, the essential difference was he made six threes. And if I could show them to you, he's another one of those shooters. And again, I'm not saying he's Steph or Clay, but he's one of those young shooters. He just has the blissful ignorance of every time he launches one, I think it's going in. And I'm going to show you the six that he made here, if we could. Six threes. Every time he lets it go, I think that's good because he shoots it with such supreme confidence. And he has the energy of like a playground player or maybe an open court
at the
Y.
Well, he was definitely feeling it last night.
Yeah. And he just plays, and he plays with such joy and such easy rhythm to his game. And I just love watching him play. I feed off his energy.
He did that to an All-NBA defensive player in Derrick White.
Okay. Once he gets in his flow and his rhythm, it's like some kid at the Y and you say, he's out of his mind. He's in the zone. We can't guard him. Well, he's one of those guys. And his energy, it doesn't look like pure energy. It doesn't look like he's supremely gifted, but he's got talent. And you want to talk about will. Whew. He comes and brings it every night on both ends of the floor, and he can be a disruptor on defense. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, what's not to love? Is it not starting? Because I thought, Joel, I know it for a fact. He's got a small tear in his knee, but he's figured out how to work around it, and now he doesn't want the you-know-what brace on his knee because it's bothering him.
Yes.
He said after, even though you say, what lift does he have to begin with? It was psychologically hindering him because he's saying, I got this thing on my knee and I feel like I can't even jump. So last night he said, just take it off. It's the same one way or the other. It's not, yeah. You know, it's not going to protect it anymore or make right. it feel any better. Just warm it up, put a sleeve on it, mm-hmm. and we'll be okay.
Right.
And he goes back. I don't know if he's taking any injections for it during the game. I doubt it. But,
no,
but
he probably still getting on yeah. the bike, you know, to try to keep it loose because yeah. the last thing you want to do is have it tighten up.
Right.
So he's probably going back in the tunnel because I see him walk back there okay. quite a
All
few
right.
times.
So now – So last night, to me, to answer Jen's question, it was all about, as I think you agree, it was about the Sixers.
Yeah, for sure.
But the year has been about the defending Eastern Conference champion Celtics.
Right.
They don't look the same to me. But I've been told, I first guessed this all year long. They have a new first-year head coach. I don't think they play with the same defensive edge they did under Ime Udoka. I haven't figured out Joe Mazzulla. All I know for sure is from a distance, I see him at war with the Boston media. And it's not a good look for a first-year head coach
no.
because it's a distraction for your team.
Right.
And it's starting to look like they're not trusting him in the key moments to make the right move strategically or lineup-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're looking at each other with body language that I've seen at odd points during the year where – they had some head-scratching losses,
right.
as we talked about. They
right.
lost three times to Orlando, twice at home. They lost three times to the Knicks. They
right.
lost three times to the Cavs.
Right.
That not shameful, but I'm just saying, I kept saying, oh, I expected them to be a real factor, and they are a real factor, but they're not the factor.
I think the thing with Coach Mazzulla, Skip, is that he inherited this team. He didn't build it.
Nope.
So I think he wants credit for something that he didn't build. It's kind of like John Gruden and Tony Dungy's old
yep.
team. Yes, you won a Super Bowl, but that team, it is not like you drafted any of those players. You didn't sign any of those players. Those, with except, I think, Brad Johnson. That's
yep.
the only change that
yep.
you made.
Yep.
But Sapp and Brooks and Lynch and
nope,
Rondé and all
there.
Those guys, they were there. Keyshawn was there.
Yep.
So he's not going to get the credit. And he should stop trying to, like, oh, well, they didn't ask me about the adjustments that I made.
Yeah.
You're supposed to make adjustments. You're the coach. You don't get credit for doing what you should do.
Yeah, I completely concur. So something has been missing, which brings me to Jason Tatum. He is the best player, even though on given nights, I think it's Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Every game in this series, Jaylen Brown has gotten off to a frenetic, hot start.
Yes.
And then what happens? He sort of disappears for the last three quarters and doesn't take as many shots.
Right.
Jason Tatum gets off to a slow start, and then he comes on like gangbusters.
But it's too late.
It's too late.
He's allowed too much separation to get between
yep.
the Celtics and the Sixers.
Yep.
I mean, Jaylen Brown goes 4-6 in the first quarter for 9 points. Jason Tatum goes 0-5 for 2 points.
Five? Really?
And so now you find yourself down 33-26.
Yeah.
And also – and to get back in it, Skip, he's taking a lot of bad shots. His 11 of 27, the inefficiency.
Yep.
Yeah, he got, you look at it like, man, Jason Tatum, man, he had 36 points,
yep.
13 rebounds, 5 assists. Ooh, man, he had two steals. But then you go on over, like, bro, he was 11 of 27. He was 3 of 11 from the.
Yeah.
So it's no impact. It's nothing. It's empty calories. I mean, you look at the stat line, but, bro, y'all got beat. Y'all got beat by 12, and the game really wasn't that close.
No.
I mean, 12 points.
Well, they were down 21, and it felt like a 20-point game
yes,
the whole way.
Yes.
Only the shock troops, like little Pritchard comes in.
Yeah.
He makes a couple of threes, and it started to get slightly interesting at the end, but it was completely misleading on the
right.
scoreboard.
Correct.
Okay. So that brings me to Al Horford. I still, when I'm rooting against Boston, I still fear him because he can be a deadly clutch shooter. He can
right.
make big shots because he's made some already in these playoffs.
Right.
But last night, as you see on your stat sheet there, he went 0-7. He went to, not war, but he got into it with a Boston reporter, a friend of mine, Duke Castiglione, who asked him about being about elite shooter. He got, I don't know if you saw the clip of this, and he got miffed about, you don't think I'm an elite shooter? And
no.
And Duke's like, not an elite shooter. You're a good shooter, but you're not elite.
No.
And now, ever since that happened, it was a couple of games back, he has not been even remotely an elite shooter.
Plus, Skip, I think the thing what really hurt him last night is that he let Joel Embiid get off to such a great start. It impacted him on the other end because he can't do anything one-on-one with Joel on the defensive end. And so now it impacts – because normally, like, guys get it going defensively, they get it going offensively,
yeah.
and vice versa. Where he's struggling on the defensive end,
yep.
and his shot is reflective, 20-plus
okay.
minutes and 0 points. You can't have a starter play that. I get it, Skip. If it's a fill-in guy, he hadn't been normal in a starting role, he's thrust into the starting lineup in the playoffs. But Al Horford is a 16-year vet. I think 16, maybe even longer than that. And he's been in these games. He's been in conference finals and the NBA finals just last year.
He was.
So there's no excuse for his level of horrid play in last night's game.
Okay. So it's going to be Jason Tatum or bust, because he just takes way more shots than anybody on this team. He takes way more three-point shots than anybody on this team.
11 more than Brown.
That's correct. Well, so far, in the playoffs, he's taken 27 more than any other teammate. But so far in this series, what's he shooting? He's 11 of 36. That's 31%. It's just not good enough.
Right.
And it wasn't good enough last night because he was 3 of 11.
Well, he's definitely not shooting that good from the field, because there have been a lot of 11 of 27. There have been some 9 of 26s and things of that nature. But I just think the thing is, Skip, is that maybe he's trying too hard to get off to the great start. And he's putting – because remember, Sunday, Skip, he misses, first 7-8 shots? Gets it going. I think he finished, 8 of 11 on his last 11 shots.
Yeah.
But the damage is done. You've got to somehow coax them out of going to Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Because right now they're letting Joel Embiid set the tempo. He did go inside, they feed him, they foul him, they slow the game down, and the Celtics want to get up and down, get up a bunch of threes.
Yeah.
Well, you can get up a bunch of threes, but if you're not making any of them, they're getting consistent twos with Joel Embiid finishing at the foul line.
P.J. Tucker, everywhere he goes, good things happen. Now he's a Sixer for the first time this year, and all of a sudden they're playing some hard-nosed defense.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, and we'll get deeper into this later, but the reason I favor Embiid over Jokic is he's just such a commanding presence at the rim on defense, because he is so big and long and can play nasty, tough basketball. And
Four
more blocks. Could we see those blocks, please, from last night for Joel Embiid? And they changed this game because they were intimidating. Marcus Smart getting
Marcus Smart, come on, really?
Come on, really? And then here we go, another one. Try that. No. And then Jason Tatum. No. And then we got a chase down here, which goes all the way end to end. Look at Joel run. Look at him run. And he got that one.
He tried to put out on LeBron. That's a goat. They call that the goat.
That's 7 feet, 1 inches doing that. You don't think he can run?
Yeah,
run the floor?
I think he realized the moment. We're seeing okay, man, this might be my best opportunity to get to and win an NBA. Because everything, I'm dinged a little bit.
Yeah.
Harden is healthy. Maxie's playing well.
That's correct.
And, man, all dog got to do is say, if all y'all give me this effort right here, I ain't going to show any other play, Skip. The only play I'm going to show is what
I
you just did, that
I
last
agree.
One.
I totally
if y'all agree. Give me this effort right here, we'll be NBA champs.
Yep.
That's all I need.
Okay, I agree. And I loved what Joel keeps saying, because he won't even talk about the MVP. They ask him about blah, blah, did you live up to being MVP? He said, I don't want to talk about MVP. What we did tonight doesn't matter, because we have to do it again. Because
right.
they do.
Right.
And if they don't do it again at home, they're going to have to go back in there. And I wouldn't love their chances of doing what they did last night again in a game 7. It may come to that. Yeah, I don't know yet. But the point is that they showed you who they could be. They flexed for you last night.
Mm-hmm.
And in the big picture, I think they're at least as good as Boston is defensively, and I just think they're better offensively, because Embiid is just going to get to the foul line. It's hard to keep him from scoring free throws.
Skip, the Celtics might be better on ball at defending when you look at Smart, when you look at a Derrick White, when you look at a Jaylen Brown and a Jason
Tatum. Except for Tuck, yeah.
But if you look at rim protection, if Joel Embiid is anywhere around the paint, ain't nothing getting in.
It's just scary, because the last shot, the game back, was Jason Tatum in overtime. He drives it, and at the last second,
he sees it.
He sees the Loch Ness Monster come in, and he just sees that thing up above the water, and he's like, I don't know if I should do this, and he tries to kick it across court.
He's either blocking the shot or challenging it so much he's altering the shot. And so that's really the difference, because like you said, Tobias Harris is okay. But when you just look at
last night, he was good. Wasn't he 7 of 10?
But I'm saying as a defender. He was really good on the offensive end. Plus 12, 16 points.
Okay. So they're defending at, for them, a high level.
Yeah.
Doc has been on something of a hot seat, because do his teams defend at a high level? Well, this one is.
Mm-hmm.
I like the mix. I like the flow. I like the bench. I like everything about this team. They're playing a very good and very deep team, but I think they showed you last night they're just a little better. It's still a three-point shooting contest, but if Tyrese Maxey at home can make six more threes, the Celtics are going to have a hard time winning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. if Maxey gives you 30, they're not winning because they're not about to hold Joel Embiid to, like, 12 points. No. What's the likelihood you hold him, Skip, to, like, the teens?
It's hard to hold him to 12 points from the free throw line.
Exactly. He shot another 11 last night.
Okay.
10 of 11.
And he's going to make – he's just going to make 10 of 11. He's going to shoot around 90% from the free throw line. And if he throws in three threes, because they just dare him to shoot threes, and I'll be honest, I don't love him shooting threes, but when he makes one, it is psychologically crushing for the opposition because it's like, stood out. Jokic will make them every once in a while, and you're like, because you dare those guys, the seven-footers, go ahead, take it.
Because, look, we know he's going to make some. Let's just say for the sake of argument, Skip, he make 8 to 10 field goals, two-pointers. That's 20. He's going to the free throw line about 12 times. He makes 10 of those. That's 30 right there.
That's exactly what he did in the regular season. He made 10 of 12 on average.
So now you throw in one three. That's 33. That's what he averages.
That's what he had. He had three of those last night. And if you make three of those, your odds are going up. Of winning.
So you let him make 12, 13, 14 field goals, two-pointers.
Yeah.
And you let him get to the free throw line. Now you're talking about guys just getting into the high 30s, maybe even 40s.
So now you're coming around on my Sixers, it sounds like.
I mean, they're playing well. Yes, I'm impressed with the Sixers.
Yeah.
But am I more impressed with the Sixers as I am disappointed in the Celtics? I think the disappointment in the Celtics, for me, I mean, I know you picked the Sixers at the beginning of the year. They're playing well. But, Skip, you got to be disappointed with what you've seen from the Celtics.
I am. They just don't look right to me. They don't look the way they did last year when they destroyed Kevin Durant.
Right.
That team.
And remember, Skip, they were down 3-2 to Milwaukee, going to Milwaukee for game six.
They were. They impressed me. And then if Jason Tatum had just been able to hang on to the basketball against Golden State, they would have won the series. But he wound up, remember, he had, for the whole playoffs, he had 100 turnovers.
Yeah.
He had 27 more turnovers than his teammate Jaylen Brown did in the playoffs last year. He is cleaning that part up.
Yeah.
But he's still not making enough shots.
But they're still the cheap. I mean, they probably because they hold the ball more because they only had 8 turnovers, Skip. It wasn't a turnover fest last night.
No.
The Sixers only had 9. But Tatum, Brown, and Smart had 7 of the 8 turnovers. But you're not surprised by that because the ball are primarily in those guys' hands.
Yep. I like the Sixers. Are you ready to say the Celtics are done?
It ain't looking good.
Okay.
It ain't looking
I'll
good.
Take that.
You know, maybe you need to call the priest in and you know, have the last yay.
Okay.
Go ahead and make peace. Go ahead and make peace with what you've already done on this earth.
Well, maybe they need an exorcism.
They need something.
Yep.
Maybe they need Larry Bird to be like 26.
Some last rites.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, TD Garden certainly was lifeless last night, gentlemen. Unless you count all the boos. This series now switches back to Philly with the Celtics on the brink of elimination. All right, Shannon, I know you've been waiting for this topic. LeBron and the Lakers could close out the Warriors tonight. It is do or die time for Golden State. All they need is a win in Game 5. Skip predicted it already. Los Angeles going to have to do it as road underdogs, though. Steph and company, 7-point favorites, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. Shannon, you first. Who wins Game 5 tonight?
The Warriors are one of the better home teams. And that's why I always felt, Skip, it was going to be very difficult for them to repeat because they were so porous on the road all season long. It's harder for me to see a scenario where you don't have home court with you. Once you'll have home court, and then you win the championship, and you don't have home court. I should have looked that up. I don't know if that's ever been done. A team that didn't have home court, you know, win the championship. Maybe the Warriors, maybe the Rockets did it. But Skip, when you look at this, the Lakers just—I've seen this. Lakers do not handle prosperity well. I saw this in game five when they went on Memphis, and they was like, well, we do got game six at home. Yep. So, you know, we'll give you a little effort. Y'all came to play tonight. We're not going to exert that much energy. Mm-hmm. We'll take it home, basically take it home on Friday. The Lakers did an outstanding job in game four in the fourth quarter. They scored 27. They held the Warriors to 17, 10 yep. of them by Steph, a layup by Moody, and then a corner three by Clay, and then yep. free throws by Wiggins. The question that I have for the Lakers is that, are you coming into game five with a game seven mentality? Because, Skip, look, you know you're a rolled ankle. You're a bruised knee. You are anything away
yep.
from being in game six and then game seven and then game, and then who knows what happened in the game seven.
Yep.
I'm taking the Warriors. I do believe the Lakers. I picked the Lakers in six. I do believe they closed it out in six. But I just don't see them beating the Warriors on the road.
Mm. So Shannon Sharp is predicting against. He's picking against LeBron and company tonight.
Against the Lakers.
Huh?
Yeah, if it was one-on-one, I'd take LeBron. LeBron one-on-one against anybody on the Warriors.
Really?
But it ain't. It's a team. So, yeah, I'm taking the Warriors.
Okay.
So stop trying to frame it. See, why you just can't accept that? Why you can't say, oh, you picked the Warriors to beat the Lakers. You got to go, oh, you picked against LeBron James.
Well, you did. You just did.
Is he on the Lakers?
He's on the Lakers.
I picked the Lakers. I picked against the Lakers.
Okay. Oh, ye of little faith. You love this team. On any given day.
So let me guess. You go pick the Lakers.
I already picked it in five. I first guessed it. I told you. They're going to go close them out up there because Golden State is on its last legs. Golden State knows full well in the bottom of their hearts and their souls. At the back of their mind, they know the Lakers are just better than they are. They know they're just too little for the Los Angeles Lakers. They know they have no answer for Anthony Davis unless he just no-shows. Right. And I don't think he's going to no-show.
I don't think he shot a three since game one.
Okay, well, that's
he got
good
smart.
Thing.
He got smart. He's like, hey, what? Y'all Lilliputians. Y'all can't guard me.
They are Lilliputians. Yep. So the point is, that's from Gulliver's.
Gulliver's.
Yeah. The point is, it needs to start with LeBron initiating in the first quarter that we got this. It's about body language I did not see from Kevin Durant last night. This is a closeout game. That wasn't a closeout game.
Right.
That was a game that was just a luxury game. It was a free shot here to go up to Denver and
try to
grab one, and that's what Philly did in Boston.
Right.
This is different. This is huge. This is still Steph and Clay at home. And by the way, it just astounds me. And I disagree with the odds makers. And I don't know, maybe they're trying to sway the money one way or the other. But Golden State is a 7-point favorite. So to your point, you're actually going with the quote-unquote smart money,
right,
so to speak. You're going with Vegas.
You see, like all the money, they keep raising the line because all the money keep betting on Golden State.
Okay.
And they try to deter you from keep betting more money on Golden State.
Okay, well, maybe the public believes that Golden State is better than I do. I just don't think they're as good as the Lakers. I don't think that there's the unity, the chemistry, the flow that they had a year ago.
Oh, well, clearly there's an issue going on.
There's a big issue going on with Jordan Poole. And so he did an interview the other night, reluctantly, grudgingly, with his back to the media at his locker where he
answered. Oh, we sure that's Jordan Poole?
Yeah, I don't know. But he answered the question barely with his back to the interviewers.
The media scrum.
Okay. You've been there and done that, but you've always been
face
first. Okay. Jordan Poole, I looked these numbers up. Last year in the playoffs, he scored 17 a game. Now he's down to 11 a game. They gave him 4 years, $140 million back in October.
Yeah, 35.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. But the flashpoint of the season became just before the season when Draymond, maybe there's some jealousy or resentment as he's rising into Draymond's spot in the big three. He punched him in the face and somebody leaked the video. And that was, to me, that was the beginning of the end of this year's Golden State Warriors, because their culture had been so airtight. It had been so us against the world and all for one and one for all.
Right.
And it broke the unity. It fractured the culture for the first time ever. And I think Steve Kerr still hasn't figured out, how do I mend that? How do I reseal that fracture in our unity? And I don't think he's been able to.
I think the thing, Skip, is that what happens is that once you get to what he's doing, he's making money. I take you, for example, your first job, who do you work for, the Miami Herald?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have the expectations that you have right now. Jordan Poole last year didn't have the same expectations. Skip, they gave this, you just said they gave the man 4 years, $140 million. You know what comes along with money. The more money you make, the more people expect from you, especially organization that gave you said money.
Yep.
But he's looking at it like, y'all don't give me the same opportunities. Y'all never did what you're doing to me right now in the postseason. You never did to me last year. So he's saying, you want me to go out there and give you 17 a game when you're giving me eight, when you're giving me probably 4 to 5 minutes left per game.
Well, and then the other night, he got a total of 10 minutes in the game, and he got no minutes in the fourth quarter. And his answer, I'm going to paraphrase it after the game, was, my routine is the same as always.
Yeah.
My opportunities are different.
Thank you.
He's saying, he didn't blame me.
Right.
Don't blame me. I can't do anything if I'm sitting on the bench.
And he's probably thinking, yeah, I hear you guys says, you had no problem with the shot that I took in game one. But my playing time and the way I'm being treated suggests otherwise.
That is true. Well, then I look at what he's doing in these playoffs. He's 28% from three. Well, that's not who he was. That's not who he's been.
Well, 28% from three won't get you increased player time. That's for damn sure.
Well, last year he was 39% from three, and that's not quite Steph Clay, but it's good enough to be part of the rotation with them or be a starter with them.
But let me ask you a question, though. So, given you don't believe Draymond is coming back.
I do not.
Okay, Draymond.
I think he has shown himself to them to be a little more trouble than he's worth at an advancing age as his numbers dwindle a little bit
so
in every category.
So, if Draymond doesn't come back, do you believe the air is cleared and then you bring Poole back, or do you move on from Poole and then extend Clay?
You mean to trade?
To trade Poole,
because
yes.
You've already committed huge
money.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that'd be somebody else's responsibility. But yeah, I gave him the contract. So, what do you do in that situation?
What's funny about all this is the biggest picture is I don't even know if the GM is going to be back, because Bob Myers is sort of his deal is up where he's going to be a free agent. He may want to start fresh somewhere else. Maybe he sees the beginning of the end of the dynasty.
I ain't leaving Steph.
Okay. Well, he's 30. Hey, what's Steph? 35?
I don't care. He ain't 45.
No.
I ain't leaving the goose that laid the golden egg. I believe he got another egg in him. And I'm going to see, because if he lay it, I'm going to be right there to catch it.
Okay. I'm not even sure right now about Steph, because he's come up small against the Lakers in crucial moments. And I'm going to say it again. That what shocked me and rocked me about this Golden State is the two games in L.A. First game, so we go 3-4. Game three, remember in the second quarter, I'm going to repeat the stats again. They're up 11 with 8 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, LeBron has not taken a shot. He's gone weird LeBron. And so you feel like the Lakers are teetering because their leader is suddenly AWOL. Like, LeBron, even you said, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. He didn't make his first field goal until 5:23 left in that quarter. But starting with the eight-minute mark, Golden State missed 12 shots before halftime.
Right.
They turned it up. This is what's mind-boggling. They turned it over six times in that stretch.
That's
before
we do.
Halftime.
We turn up that heat on them.
Six. I give you that because they're playing high-level defense, the best defense in the playoffs to me, Lakers defense. And, as you know, the self-destruction manifests itself right at the end of the first half. They get three straight technical fouls.
Right.
Three straight. Draymond got one. JaMychal Green got one. And then they get a defensive three-second technical foul. Right. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. And they were done. They were up 11, and suddenly they go to halftime down 11, and the game was
right.
over.
Yeah.
Then I showed you yesterday down the stretch of game four. It's a winnable game. They're actually, I mean, you could argue they were in control at several moments in the fourth quarter. And over the last 3 minutes of the game, you saw what happened. Klay took two horrendous shots. And you can argue, oh, he's made those shots before, right?
Yeah, but
these were outrageous. You could even see on the one shot, you can see Steve Kerr over there going, what are you doing?
Right.
Right? Even Draymond's like, what are you doing? Then Steph on the same possession, which was a microcosm of the season, on the very same possession, he misses the 18-footer on AD. And then they get the offensive board and kick it right, but Draymond kicks it back out to him, and he takes a three. Here we go again. And on the same possession, he misses both shots.
Right.
And then they have the two turnovers. Draymond dribbles the ball, a play called. And LeBron's all over it. And he's running the play before it's even going to be run. And he's orchestrating his defense that there. And you stay there. AD, stay, because it's that nail play where you're going to kick it to the corner.
You'll kick play in the corner.
Okay. And what does Draymond do? He gets caught up in the air under the basket, looking around like, I got nobody. And he throws it to AD.
Right.
Okay. And then it ends. It's almost like the Zeke play that ended the 49er playoff game where he's hiking the ball and getting crushed. Right. But Steph winds up with the basketball on the tip, on the jump ball.
Right. And he just throws it over his head.
Throws it over his head out of bounds. What are you doing?
Right.
And you got a timeout left.
I don't think you have a problem with any of the shots that Steph took like you had a problem with the one he took in Sacramento off 1 foot for three. When you had two with a tie together, you know what I'm saying?
No,
and you tried to ask, like, why do you need a 1 foot shot?
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Skip, I mean, like you said, I get Steph, but Clay shooting the shot that he shot, with that kind of time on the shot clock, it made no sense to me. Even if you have made four or five of those in your career, at that moment, that's not what you need. Okay. I believe you could have got a – if you want to take a three, I ain't got a problem with a three. Yeah. I believe you could have got a closer three than a 34-footer.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, so do I believe that Lonnie Walker is going to score 15 in the fourth quarter?
Roy might do it, though.
He might. He might do it. Anybody might do it. Schroeder might do it. I don't know. D'Lo might do it. You're deeper than they are. They're not deep at all to me.
No, they're not.
They keep reaching for this guy and that guy. He may reach for Jordan Poole. He may put him in the starting lineup tonight to say, okay, maybe this will fix it. Yeah. Maybe this will change your
mindset. That's a good point. He might start.
Okay, well, that's...
You tried Loon. You tried Jermichael Green.
Yes.
Peyton the second.
You did. That's what you tried.
But you did have success with Peyton the second. It's hard for me to see a scenario that he doesn't at least bring that starting lineup back. It's just like the Jermichael Green in game two.
Okay.
He started him. They won. He brought it back for game three. They lose. He tried a different lineup for game four.
Yeah.
They played it close. Because this like the Andre Iguodala skip, even though they lost the game, he saw something that he liked.
I agree. What they have done the best at, they have defended the three-point line that Lakers have.
Yeah, you got to.
At a high level.
Yeah.
So if you tell me that once again in the home games, they made 21 and 21 threes. If they make 21 tonight.
You're probably going to lose.
You're probably going to lose.
Yeah.
Sometimes, remember, they made 21 in game one, and you were up 14 with what? 5 minutes, 4 minutes left, minutes left.
5 minutes.
Okay, and almost blew that way. Jordan Poole shooting to tie.
Right.
Okay. Well, it did get tied.
Yeah, see, but what I like. I like Steph. Steph finally got an opportunity to see what it's like being LeBron James. You know how you have a triple-double, and then one of your next best guy got 9 points, and another guy got 3 points.
Yeah.
And Steph like, man, hold on. I ain't used to this.
Yeah.
I'm used to KD giving me 30. I'm used to Clay giving me like 22.
Yeah.
Where my help?
Shannon, you know what's going to happen tonight?
What?
The Golden State Warriors are going to be put to sleep.
That would be nice.
Put to sleep.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
But LeBron can't go the whole – you can't go the whole quarter on the road, Skip, and not take a shot.
Nope, you cannot do it. You got to be – this is the one where you have to put your foot down early.
He might come out there and give him a 40-piece.
Okay, well, he might, and that would work.
40-piece.
Okay, well, if you're saying that, then you better switch your pick right now.
That's what I would like to see.
Will you give me Lakers in seven?
No.
Why not? No. I'll take Lakers in seven.
I can't bet against my team, Skip.
Well, you picked against your team.
I ain't no bet against
them. Might as well put your team in your mouth.
You do that all the time with the Cowboys. You pick against them, won't give me a bet whatsoever.
Yeah, well, smart.
But guess what? I'm about to pick against them. We got some coming out of the fire. I'm going to pick against them.
Who?
Your Cowboys.
Oh, you're
going to
pick
against them. I'm picking against them. I want 5 cases right now. 5 cases before we even see the topic. I don't even know what the topic is, but I want 5 cases.
I don't know what the topic is.
Just say 5 cases.
On what?
Just say bet.
On the East?
Just say bet. No, the game.
The game?
Yep.
I don't think it's the game.
That's what I want to talk about, the game.
Which game are we talking about?
The Cowboys and the Eagles.
Oh, and the Eagles?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's like Black Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take, if it's at Dallas, I'll take Dallas.
I don't care where it is. I'm going to take a sight unseen.
Really?
5 cases right now.
Okay.
If it's at Dallas, if it's Dallas, Philly, I don't care. It might be the parking lot in Kansas.
Okay.
5 cases.
5 cases?
Okay. You want it?
I want it.
Got it. I see it. Oh, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, I got that money. Oh, he in the lab right now.
I got Deuce Vaughn and you don't.
No, I got Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts told him, hey, He said, I don't even want to see no check. I know it's there, but I don't even want to see this money because I'm broke. He said, I'm starving.
Okay.
In the lab right now, working on something for the Cowboys.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
I love it. You've got Dew going, and we're not even to that topic yet. No. Excellent job, guys. Hey, back to this Lakers-Warriors series. Golden State's going to have to be practically perfect, gentlemen. If you look at NBA history, teams down 3-1 have less than 5% chance of coming back and mm-hmm. winning their series.
And go 17-0.
All right.
You bet against him.
He's got a little bit of skin on the wall, doesn't he, Shannon? Mm-hmm. Just a touch.
Baseball is back, and so is Flippin' Bats.
5 times a week, Monday through Friday.
So follow us on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
KD and the Suns falling behind 3-2 in their series with Nuggets last night. It was a 118-102 defeat. It was a beatdown. The Suns trailed by as many as 24 in the loss. They're now a game away from elimination, gentlemen. Shannon, do you think the Suns are done?
No, but the supporting cast needs to be better. Skip, I mean, think about this. In 6 postseason win, Devin Booker's averaging 48.5 points.
Yep.
In 4 postseason losses, he's averaging 29. So he can't play any better across the board.
Yeah. Well, that says they go as he goes, right?
But Skip, KD is averaging 30. So what else can they do? They're giving you 70, between 70 and 80 on a nightly basis. Okay, last night they were down a little bit. I think they gave you 54.
Yeah.
So they're down a little bit. But they won the game, KD and Book, 72 and 88 in game 3 and 4. They managed 54, so they're down. 0-3 in postseason when neither guy averages 30, gets 30. But yeah. Josh Okogie. Skip, let me get you 8 minutes. Struggle. Landry Shamet, struggle. T.J. Warren, been struggling.
Yep.
Torrey Craig, who played really, really good against the Clippers, has been struggling. Chris Paul's on the sideline. You're not getting much other than starting out of campaign. So, basically, Devin Booker and KD are doing what they do. They just need some help. It's time for DeAndre Ayton, Skip. Instead of getting him a 14-7, he needs to get him a 20, 22, 25, 15 game.
Agreed.
If he can do that, they can stave off elimination. But if it stays status like what it's been doing, the Nuggets are going to go in there and get a win. Because I believe Jamal Murray is starting to get his groove.
Yep.
Now, the thing they got to hope is that Jamal Murray don't go off in the first half.
Yep.
And come along with Yoke. Because you know you got no answer for Yoke. So if he gives you, Skip, the man gave you 2 points. And you didn't have the lead at half.
Yeah.
You good? Need some more water?
I'm
go ahead.
I got something in my throat.
Yeah, I keep talking. Hey, I keep talking. So I like it. You know what I mean?
I'm choking like Kevin Durant.
No, he ain't choking. He averaging 30 points a game. Book's averaging, you know, probably like mid-30s. And you find yourself down 3-2 for the simple fact you need help. And that's what I've been telling. I don't care how great you are. You can be historically great. But at some point in time, the role player is going to have to do their role. Everybody got a role. No matter what job, you got mailroom people, you got human resources people, you got security, everybody has a job. Do your job. Whatever your job entails you to do, you got to do it.
Okay. I hear everything you just said. I'm a little bit of a prisoner of last night's, moment. I was extremely disappointed in their effort last night. Pardon my voice. I think I screamed at the TV so much last night, I lost part of my voice, like Mike Malone lost his voice.
Yeah.
But the point is, last night they missed Chris Paul. So now it all comes down to the health of his groin. He went out yesterday before the game and actually pushed on it a little bit.
Right.
He did some drills. I'm told they don't want him to try game 6. They're looking at game 7.
It might not be return. A game 7.
Okay, that's the point. Now, Devin Booker has to go home, and you know and I know what's going to have to happen. He's going to have to make 20 out of 30 shots.
Yeah.
Because that's how they won those home games. He just went into some other universe.
Yeah.
He was making shots at a rhythm and a pace as the point shooting guard.
Right.
He's bringing the ball up the floor, and about two-thirds of the time, he's initiating his own shot.
Yeah. Well, he's going to need 50 then.
Okay. Well, it may take that. But he is capable, and they are capable at home.
Yeah, for sure.
But to your point, the role players are going to have to stand up and be accounted for. I told you, I love Terrence Ross. He made 3 out of 4 threes last night. You always say, maybe that's predictive of what might come.
Right.
Is that something that Monty is finding? Maybe you need to get Terrence Ross in the game quicker than you usually do. Maybe he needs to be in mid-first quarter.
Well, hell, maybe starting.
Okay, you might need to do that. But the point is, somebody, Landry Shamet, or who knows, maybe Cameron Payne, or maybe it's Warren, somebody, Okogie, needs to get hot from three.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a hot shooting night because in this series, through 5 games, Kevin Durant is making 22% of his three-point shots. It's not him. They are bullying Kevin Durant. He is shrinking before your very eyes. He's turning into the straw man. He's got hands of tissue paper. I don't know. He's a turnover machine. In 3 of these games in this series so far, he's had turnovers of 7, 5, and 5. It's hard to watch because he can't even hang on to the basketball when they, as they say in basketball, blitz him. With the second defender coming, he seems to just get rattled and close up and then lose the basketball. He needs to come out and try to be a little more assertive from the start and shoot it like he means it.
Okay.
He needs to be Kevin Bleepin' Durant in a positive way.
Well, but let me ask you this. You said your bench, you're going to get some. What happened to Torrey Craig? Skip, how you go from playing as well as he did against the Clippers?
He made a couple of big shots against
Skip,
the Clippers.
Skip, he averaged 12 points a game. This man is falling complete. How do you fall out of the rotation in a series?
I don't know. Because I think, and did he even play last night? Yeah, he played 5 minutes. Okay.
But he got him up late.
Okay, he made one shot. Okay. It's somehow because he doesn't give you enough offense, but he can defend at a very high level.
Well, you're getting enough offense. You ain't getting no defense. You got to, at some point in time, you got to stop Yoke Murray and Porter Jr., Bruce.
Maybe that's the quick fix. I don't know. All I know is, in the end, you're just going to have to outscore the Denver Nuggets and Phoenix because that's what it boiled down to in the games.
The Drew Brees games, yes.
You just have to outshoot them. It's going to be a shootout, and you have to outshoot the visiting team. And they're highly capable of it. If they can get it back to a game 7, which I believe they will, I believe Chris will try to play. And I'm going to say it again. When he got hurt late third quarter of game 2 in Denver, they were up 3 points, and he was a plus 19 in the time he'd been on the floor. Don't tell me that they're better without him. Don't tell me that it's run and gun, it's more free-flowing without him. I don't care. He is the point god nicknamed for a reason.
You called a man CPO.
Zero. That was back.
He ain't got nothing coming forward.
2014. But then Kevin Bleepin said, I'm going to go there. I want to go there to help him win a ring at age 38. And I like the mix of it, and I like the way he fits with the two wing studs where he can be the point god in the middle.
Okay.
And when he is dared to in a third or a fourth quarter, he will take and make big shots. Maybe not threes, but a lot of twos. And, yeah, he's got a sort of like it takes all of his effort to get up into a jump shot at this point at age 38. But when he does get up into a jump shot, he makes a lot of them. I would like his presence, his steadying, sort of calming presence, and his toughness. I do think he has mental and physical toughness, and he's got a little edge to him, and that's what they're going to need against the Nuggets in a Game 7 back in Denver.
Right.
They're going to have to out-physical them, and I believe they are highly capable of doing that.
Okay.
CP3 says he's trying to go for Game 6, guys. If he does, that could really help DeAndre Ayton get going. Time will tell.